We are back.
Wait, do these things still work?
I guess the thing's moving.
Oh. All right, well, we're back then.
We are back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Football's back. Everything's back. We're back. It's a new season. It's a new show. Same old host. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water slide, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know, what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Damn, man, I am juiced after that song. DJ TG on the ones and twos. Woo! If that does not get you jacked to start this new season, I don't know what does, man. Like, damn.
Well, that's the entire reason that we got a new song.
Yep, that's the only reason.
No other reason whatsoever.
No other reason whatsoever. That was it. Great song. Man, it is August 1st. Yep.
It is.
We dated it.
And we got football on the TV.
We got football on the TV. Live football.
Right.
Not
this is
highlights.
Happening right now.
Legit football on the TV. I did really well. I made it until about July 25th, 27th, I think I posted last week, of not watching any highlights. So I was really proud of myself. And then I just fell off the wagon, man. Like, really fell off. Like, a lot.
I am still on the wagon. I have not watched any highlights yet. At all this offseason.
If y'all could see my shocked face.
He is pretty shocked.
That was shocking.
He's pretty shocked. It's like he stuck a fork in a...
Toaster?
Socket. Or a toaster. Yeah. I don't suggest doing either of those.
Yeah, I recommend that.
At all.
Good idea.
No.
Well, welcome back, everyone. it's been a nice break.
Hiatus.
We both are fresh now. We are both ready to talk some football. If you haven't heard of us...
Right.
Because we have been away.
Because this might be your first time.
Yes.
And you might be like, what are these guys talking about? We are in season two now.
Yes.
But welcome to the show if you're just now joining us.
Welcome to the show. We are the Bench Boys. I'm Colin.
I'm Thomas.
And yeah, this is our show. Revamped, rejuvenated, everything, man. Like, it's going to be a really fun year. We have got some awesome, awesome things planned for this entire season. And we hope that you guys are along on the ride along the way the entire time.
It's okay. We're so excited we can't even get words in the right order.
Forgot it.
So Twitter us, follow at
Twitter
the OG Bench Boys. We are there 24/7. If we're not, we're on Twitter and on our personal accounts. So you'll see the best football news, some of the worst football takes from myself.
Probably.
And then you can also follow us on Facebook because we're there too. But yeah. I'm going to be honest, we haven't been there in there a minute. But
No, the Tweeter machine, as it's called by Ed Ogeron.
Is that what he calls it?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Twitter machine.
Something. I don't know. He's speaking different language at that point. It's just incredible. But the man's a god. So, we got that social media game down. So, we're glad you're here. Football, let's get to it.
Out of the gate.
Sunbelt Media Days.
Man.
I was not there.
No. Which was not the same.
It wasn't. It was
a lot more
I'm
fun.
So upset I wasn't able to go.
That's okay.
But
Scott did well.
Scott did well?
Scott did okay.
He did okay.
We had to listen to Little Baby for like a lot. He legit at one point was like, if you don't put a Little Baby song on, I think I might jump out of the car.
We should have just let him jump out of the car.
I don't want to say, but I didn't. Okay, no. I'm not going to. I didn't unlock the doors, but.
I can imagine. The window rolled.
Maybe the
down.
Window. I don't know. But no. Scott Watkins was there, obviously.
Representing us at from the Trojan Wall
the
as well.
Wall.
And I know Nick was there from Forgotten Five.
Nick made a surprise appearance. Apparently, no one knew he was going to be there. And Nick kind of showed up. And then everybody was like, hey, Nick. And he's like, hey.
He lives in New Orleans now.
I
know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But
we stayed with him last year, right?
We did.
Was that his house? I don't know.
The point is, he has his own house in New Orleans now.
He does. Okay.
And I'm glad that, like, both this and the rest of the Forgotten Five family was all able to be represented.
Yeah, there was a really good contingent. It was a fun day. Started out with steak and eggs like normal. I guess it for our day started out with steak and eggs, but you know they had the Fido dough there. And, and
the night
so
before.
People were there a lot the night before partying up. I have yet to actually go to the Fido dough.
One day.
Will. But no, it was a fun day. Obviously, big news right out the bat, new commissioner.
We talked about this a lot last year.
Yeah, a lot last year. Keith Gill, got to talk to him for about 5 minutes throughout the day. Very smart guy. I mean, smart. Like, and from talking to other people, even talking to him, this guy is the best next step for this conference. Like, where the conference was at, it was great. Everything's going up. I think he's going to build other parts of this conference that need to be built. And one of those isn't football. It's actually basketball. The Sun Belt is going to benefit so much from him. He comes from the A-10, which the A-10 was a nothing conference probably 15 years ago. And last 4 or 5 years, they've had 3 to 4 teams in the NCAA tournament out of the Atlantic 10. Like, Sun Belt, we get one. That's it. We don't get two. We get one. And so if we can move that to 4 teams and you've got more than just an automatic qualifying bid of winning the conference tournament,
there's
at-large bids. Like,
would change the game for us as a conference.
Oh, Sun Belt, I mean, he's going to grow the other sports that need to be grown. And, I'm blanking on the old commissioner.
Carl Benson.
Carl Benson did great things for football. He moved football where we are a respected conference now in a lot of ways. And football was that. And so Keith Gill is going to make us a respected conference in basketball. I firmly believe that right now. They've already nixed that stupid pod scheduling that nobody liked.
So did they even use it?
I don't think they did.
I thought
it was supposed to be implemented, I think, this year.
This upcoming year.
And they had coaches meetings about a week after the Sun Belt Media Day for football. They had meetings, obviously, before and completely nixed it because it was, like, seriously, like, teams wouldn't know who they would be playing until maybe the week before.
You can't sell tickets.
You can't travel. What if you're App State and on Monday you get the schedule that you're playing Texas State on Friday? How do you think you're going to be able to get kids to be moved in a week? That's not bus tickets. That's plane tickets.
Yeah.
And you can't put schools behind the eight ball like that.
No.
And that was the big knock, obviously. And just little things like that. We will obviously talk about Keith Gill. He's actually making his rounds. He said he had visited 4 campuses prior to Media Day. And he said, I'm going to visit every single one. And this week, he's making his Alabama trip. We saw him earlier in the week at South Alabama.
Yeah.
Today was at Troy.
Saw him in the dining hall.
Yeah, yeah. Was hanging out with Brent Jones, all those guys.
Yep.
So I imagine he's probably going to make a trip to Georgia next and then probably up to North Carolina before the season starts. I think those are the last. I think he had done the Texas schools and I think he had done the Louisiana schools. And then he's going to come back and finish with probably Arkansas State and Little Rock as well, because there's more than just – it's not just football schools. He's going everywhere. So,
well, back to Sun Belt Media Days.
Yes.
What was your biggest takeaway from what all the coaches were saying?
Man, we got a lot of first-year head coaches.
Yeah.
Like, I think outside of Blake Anderson, there's no coach that's been here for longer than 3 years.
I think you're absolutely correct on that.
Everybody else is 1 or 2 years.
I'm not even going to look it up because I think you're correct.
Like, when it comes to football.
Yes.
And a lot of, we're going to see, but, takeaway, Drinkowitz is a twin. He's literally Scott Satterfield, a little bit shorter, not as in, I mean, he's not that he's in bad shape, but he's not as, like, athletic looking.
He's not as cut.
As Scott Satterfield. But man, oh man, is it like a duplicate? Like, we even ask players, like, does it, like, do you call him Satterfield every now and then? Like, just because looking at him, and they're like, yeah, there was like one time where we kind of did, and it was a little awkward. And but no, like, it's eerie, like really, really eerie that they have him. So
I've noticed that too. I remember when he was announced, there were a lot of App State fans on Twitter that were like, wait, hold up.
Is that the wrong?
Is that right? Is that graphic right?
Did they pull a Florida State and put the wrong thing?
Yeah, like 154, yeah. 115, 460, what?
1 times 5 minus 4, I don't know.
I don't know.
It had a different feel because I've been to the last three, and that day, I felt like by the end of the day, there was a guy that just kind of owned the room. Like because each team brings two representatives.
Right.
Most of the time they're seniors. Every now and then you get a redshirt junior. There was two redshirt juniors there. So basically seniors.
Right.
Nobody owned the day. Like, I'm going to say it. The guy, we had him on our show, Jeremy Reeves. Jeremy Reeves owned that day. Like, you could tell he embraced everything. He was having fun in all of his interviews. Like, I watched, you know, the interviews that they have with the girl and I forgot what her name is, the girl for the Sun Belt, that when I remember Jeremy Reeves, he just owned the interview. Like, he was funny. Like, you stopped and you looked at that interview. There was never once where I stopped and had to, like, see what was going on in any of the interviews. Like, and I mean, it wasn't that, that's not, I'm not saying that all these guys were boring, but it just, they all kind of seemed like, yeah, we were, and I asked all of them, I said, you know, did you guys sign up for this? No, we all got emails. Like, we just got an email. Coach sent us a note, said, hey, go find your suit. You're coming to us. You come with us. So that was the only thing that was kind of like, I didn't see anybody that really owned it. Like, even last year, like Bull from South. I know I'm picking South guys, but to be honest with you, actually, there were more guys last year, actually.
Who's the Louisiana guy that we got on camera that had such a good time with
him? The big guy. Yeah. God.
I forgive.
Our ULL fans.
Forgive us for forgetting
your
name.
Louisiana fans are going to hate us.
Yeah, but
the big defensive tackle. I mean, they had fun with it.
Stan and ULM, Marcus Green, both of those players.
Marcus Green did great.
Yeah.
Caleb Evans, you know, he wasn't bad. Let me tell you something. That guy's a lot taller than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
A lot taller than I thought. Yeah. But no, it was a fun day. I was a little irked at, I think we kind of let the commissioner off a little bit easy on his first media day.
Mm-hmm.
There was he talked about a little bit about bowls, but I think we kind of should have pressed him a little bit about bowl games. Because yes, we are losing one. Where's the next one going to be? Are we going to expand on bowl games? That type of thing. And I mean, I know it's first media day. But no, it was a fun day. It was in New Orleans, obviously. The cool thing that they did that it was already kind of announced, but Louisiana opens up in New Orleans in the Superdome against Mississippi State first week of the year.
That if I wasn't going to be watching Campbell at Troy, that is a game I will try my best to watch.
That's going
to
be a really good game.
Yes.
I guarantee you half the state of Louisiana will be in the Superdome.
Absolutely.
Because all of ULL, all of Louisiana, like University of Louisiana, will be there, like, for sure.
You know what? I think that this point is a great segue into a new segment that we're unveiling right now for the first time.
All
right. We'll talk to you a little bit more about it on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, let's open that mailbox.
Mailbox.
Yes, this is Cole Dunlap. I beat the bench boys, and I have the T-shirt to prove it. Every year, a Sun Belt team beats a Division I Power 5 team. Which team do you think has the best chance to do it this year?
Man, great question. One, what's up to our Bench Boys winner?
Yeah, he won our...
Cole Dunlap.
Yeah.
Won the drawing. Won every... Like, beat us in a week and then won the...
The T-shirt.
So that's what he was talking about. First caller in, so we had to give him that. You know, I guess that was something.
It's
so.
A new thing.
New thing. No, great question. For the past couple of years, I mean, Troy's kind of carried the flag. South obviously had the win against Mississippi State a couple years back, too. And then Troy for the last 2 years. App State almost had a big win last year against Penn State, which would have been huge. Obviously, App State's no you know, they understand how to beat the big dogs. ULM's beaten Alabama in the past. ULL even has a couple. Probably, I think ULL might have a win or two. But no, it's been kind of this thing for the last couple of years that a Sun Belt team does get a win. So we've got some pretty solid matchups this year. Coastal taking on Kansas. ULM takes on Iowa State. Troy taking on Missouri. First week of the year, as we were talking about, Mississippi State, Louisiana. Sorry, Louisiana fans. In the Superdome, I think that's a huge match right there. I think that's a really good one. App State taking on North Carolina. They get Mack Brown, which is going to be a really interesting game. Or no, excuse me, not North Carolina. App State takes on South Carolina.
They play both this year.
Oh, wow. Okay, App State, you decide to play everybody. So, yeah, so that'll be cool. So App State actually gets two rounds against the Carolina teams. Ark State plays Georgia, I want to say. That's going to be a tough one for them. No, but I think the three that jump out at you are Coastal and Kansas. Just because first year, Les Miles, you don't really know. I mean, Kansas is where Kansas is at. I think Mississippi State loses a lot on defense. So I think Louisiana has a really good chance against Mississippi State. I think the fact that it's in the Superdome is huge for them. They love playing in that stadium. Like, I mean, they're pretty used to playing in that stadium from all the New Orleans Bowls that they've been there for. And I think App State against South Carolina. South Carolina, I know they just got Tavian Feaster, the big-time running back transfer from Clemson. They have a really good, solid quarterback against Jake Bentley. But I think App State, yeah, they lose a little bit in their D-back position. That's a good spot. But you want to know what? I'm throwing everybody a curveball. This is going to work. This is kind of going to be something in the show that you're going to catch on to. I'm going to go ULM over Iowa State. I think it's in Ames, and I really think senior year Caleb Evans, this is his moment to – this is his game. You know, last year we talked about them. They played Texas A&M. He kind of rose, kind of didn't rise to the occasion. This is it. Like, this is his chance. Iowa State lost a lot at wide receiver this year. Their quarterback, he's a sophomore. He's a pretty good quarterback, Brock Purdy, pretty solid quarterback. But their defense is nothing compared to what it was last year, I think. Their D-line isn't as strong. I think ULM could hold up if Caleb Evans has a rock star game and ULM's defense sort of shows up. Now it's going to be a shootout. Like I think this is a 40-30, 45-40 game, to be honest with you. Like they get them early, if I remember right. Or is it late? Early?
So ULM's schedule is as follows. Grambling in week one.
Okay.
At Florida State week two, which is, I was scanning his schedule and I thought you mixed them up, but yep. No, they get at Florida State week two.
Yeah.
They get a week off and then they're going to go to Ames.
Ames, Iowa. Okay.
Week three.
They get to go to Jack Trice Stadium. I got cousins that are Iowa State fans. They ain't going to like me for this one, but sorry. I think this is the game. And I think that's who I'm putting my money on for who wins.
You know, I'm a fan of spicy things, and that's a very hot take, my friend. I like that call. I wouldn't put money on it personally.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're going for something out of the ordinary, that's the way you need to go. I like App State over North Carolina.
Okay.
First round. What was the reason Troy beat LSU? First year coach, yep. New quarterback. The reason they beat Nebraska, first-year coach, new quarterback. I don't know about the Tar Heels quarterback situation, but I can tell you that App State's going up against Mack Brown in week three.
Mm-hmm.
And App State hasn't really lost to anything.
Not on O-line. Not on the offensive side of the ball.
Not on offense at all. No.
Yeah.
So, I don't really like Coastal at Kansas. Georgia State at Tennessee is interesting.
Mm.
I don't think Georgia Southern's beating LSU. South has no chance against Nebraska. I'm sorry, Jags.
No.
Arkansas State has no chance at Georgia. Texas State has no chance at A&M. And honestly, I think this is the year that Troy's Power 5 streak ends.
Who would ever thought? Who would have been saying that a streak?
Right? Like, I mean, two wins is a streak, all right?
That's so pretty solid. They're 2-0 against the SEC over the last 2 years. So, or not SEC, Power 5. But Power 5, excuse me.
Yeah, but still. No, I like the Louisiana-Mississippi State one. That's why
that was my other. Yeah.
So everybody circle that one. Watch that one if you get a chance.
That's first week of the year.
It's
like,
gonna be so.
It's
much
It's the
fun.
First game. That is the yeah. first game. So
that Louisiana's two-headed running back system.
Mm-hmm. Trey Regis.
Set.
Yep.
So yeah, to answer your question, Cole, I think it'll be Appalachian State, but don't sleep on Louisiana. And you say ULM?
I say ULM.
He says ULM. I'm
a big Caleb Evans fan this year. I think he's. As I said, I fell off the wagon, watched some highlights, and I watched his highlights against Troy, and that guy's a nightmare to plan against. Like, he's really a nightmare. And I know, yes, they lost Marcus Green, but I think it's kind of the same thing with Georgia State this year when you lose
That's
a guy like Penny
say.
Hart. Like, I think it does you kind of good because it makes you it forces you to go to other guys. So I just watch it. Now, I might be dead wrong, but right now – I'm picking ULM over Iowa State. So.
I like it. I like it. Also, but between you and me, Cole, we also know it's because he hates Iowa State.
Yeah, that too. I can't pick them.
I mean. But you know what? Speaking of picks, we've both analyzed this entire season in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into that with the segment we like to call, and they're just going to generically call, Best Bets.
Best Bets.
So, yeah, we got some predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Football hasn't even started. This is the best time of the year. Everybody talks about their team's going to go 12-0.
Of course.
Your team's going to go 0-12.
Yep.
Everything. And
that sounds like a conversation I had with Alyssa the other night.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And in December, you have no clue what you said back in August. But guess what? We decided to make a show so people can go back and listen to us and really prove us wrong.
That's
so,
right. Call us out on it.
Yeah,
we dare you.
Do it. Spend your time and listen to our show. So I let's just start with predictions with how the season goes.
Okay.
First
of all, how did you do your predictions? Because we both did them different ways. How did you do yours?
Mine was really scientific.
I'm sure.
It's follow your gut. That's as scientific as it gets for me.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. So
I feel like after studying the Sun Belt and being with it for a while, you know.
I mean, it's the Fun Belt, man, and that's why.
You know, and I have to say I go with gut instincts a lot too, especially when we get to our picks later this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did
you do the scientific way as well?
Well, it was a little bit more scientific than yours.
Okay.
So I took the production numbers from last year from each team on offense and defense.
Okay.
He's laughing because he's about to fall asleep.
Yep.
then I took the percentage of players returning and averaged it with 100%. So between the two, the exact midpoint. Between 100% return and the percent of players that are actually returning. So I gave them like a mid-range production. Like they didn't get all the way up to the numbers they did last year, but they didn't do the bare minimum.
Okay.
And then I pit them against each other in a death royale and compared them and like just crossed out numbers that were lower and said this offense is going to tear up this defense or this is going to be a toss because I have plenty of tosses in here.
Yeah.
So now let me wake you back up by saying it's not, I think I said my two dark horses, were Arkansas State and Troy. I think I said that a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And I have ULM and Troy winning.
Each division.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's so, actually really shocking.
Right?
Because that's literally what I picked.
Oh my God. Well, I hate to say it, but I don't agree with the results this came up with.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stand by them because it's a method and it's interesting.
Wow.
It sounds like yours is interesting too.
Yeah. Okay, so I have 6 bowl eligible teams. That is my hot take. I hope we're going to track that for the whole year. I think the Sun Belt gets 6 bowl eligible teams this year.
And we only have 4 bowl bids.
We have 5. 5 this year. We still have 5.
I thought we dropped out of the Arizona Bowl.
Mm-mm. This is our last year of it.
This is our last year of
yep.
it. Okay.
Yep. Next year, we lose that, but we pick up the Coastal Bowl.
Okay.
And so we're back to – we're always at 5. So we have 5 bowl bids, but
we're,
I think we
we're
get –
we're kosher.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I think we get 6 bowl eligible teams, though.
No, that's not too far out of the realm of possibility.
Yep. Yeah, no, I actually have Troy going 6-2 in conference, 8-4, and in that season they do have a 4-game losing streak. By the way,
yeah, we talked about this before the mic because I just couldn't. I had to understand.
Yeah,
why
Troy fans aren't going to like me right now?
Explain it and tell me why.
Well, it's going to be a roller coaster season for the Troy Trojans. Let me just say that right now. They're going to start out 2-0. I think they beat Southern Miss. And then, unfortunately, we're going to go on a 4-game losing streak with losses to Akron, Missouri, Arkansas State. And, yes, every single Troy fan is going to hate me right now, but I'm going with the road team in the Battle for the Belt because that's literally what it's been for the past 4 years. The road team wins, and unfortunately, I have to pick South Alabama. Like, when we get to that week, I'm going to pick South Alabama because I'm Lee Corso in this. Lee Corso picked, I think, like Wisconsin a couple years ago to go to the national title game, and he stuck with that pick every week. So I've got to do this. They actually win the head-to-head over App State and Georgia Southern, who also finish at 8-4 as well. So three teams, you know how we had three teams in our division this year that won 10 games.
Right, in the West.
I think we only have three teams that win. I think we have three teams that win 8 games in the West.
You think App State only wins 8 games?
Yes, yes. And
okay, let's get to that.
Their only two losses in conference are to Troy and Georgia Southern. And they lose their other two. They lose to South Carolina and North Carolina. That's what I think about that.
Okay, well, that's not incredible.
It's not out of the realm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so who does Georgia Southern lose to besides Troy?
Georgia Southern loses to ULM. And that is where our favorite team resides, I think. Actually, they aren't. ULM finishes the season 8-4 as well. So we have four teams that finish with 8 wins in the conference. But so there is another team that finishes with more wins than anyone else, but doesn't make the championship game.
And who would that be?
That would be the Raging Cajuns of ULL. They finish the season 9-3, but go 5-3 in conference with 3 losses to Troy, App, and Georgia Southern.
So wait, they beat Florida State in your mind?
Yes. They beat Mississippi State. ULL, not ULM.
Oh, Louisiana. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
So ULM. So with that, now hold on here. We're doing this live.
Right. This is all happening as we speak.
If ULM goes 6-2 in conference, but they're in another division, but they have a loss to ULL, would ULL go even if ULL was 5-3?
No. Who has the better record in the West?
Well, ULM would be 6-2, but ULM has the head-to-head loss against ULL.
Who has the better record?
Overall or conference record?
Conference record.
ULM at 6-2.
ULM has it at 6-2.
Yeah, their only losses are to ULL and App.
Okay, so ULL is 5-3.
Yes.
But they have that head-to-head over ULM?
Yes.
No, ULM would go.
ULM would go.
Because it's 6-2
okay.
Rather than 5-3.
Okay.
Just because you lost doesn't mean you're moving forward.
Well, that sucks for ULM, or for ULL.
Yeah, they did all the hard work, and they didn't get the win off of it.
Damn, because they lose. All three of their losses are going to come to the three teams out of the East, which Troy, App, and Georgia Southern. That's their three losses. I think ULL goes 4-0 in their non-con. I think they beat Mississippi State, and then they don't really play anybody else in their non-con, and I think they go 9-3. They are the fifth team. Drum roll, please. Who is that sixth team?
Oh, Arkansas State.
There you go.
This is the only one left.
And Arkansas State does not win 8 games. Arkansas State wins 7 games and goes 4-4 in the conference.
And you want me to go crazy on you?
Yep.
7-5, 5-3 for Arkansas State.
Yeah, I had them going 7-5, 4-4. I had them losing to ULL, ULM, Georgia Southern, and I'm sorry, but South has Ark State's number. So I had South beating Ark State because it's South.
Troy.
Yep.
I have Troy, ULM, and Georgia State.
Georgia State winning how many games?
Georgia State beating Arkansas State.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. No, I only have Georgia State beating Texas State. That is only game that I could see.
Right.
I watched Georgia State, and man, oh, man, were they bad last year. I mean, really bad.
So, you know how you said you had 6 teams that were bowl eligible?
Uh-huh. How many do you got?
I got 7.
7?
I got Georgia State going 6-6 this
year. We differ vastly on Georgia State.
It's that Arkansas State win.
Mm-hmm.
I have them also beating Texas State,
yep.
Coastal, and South Alabama.
Mm. Mm.
I have Coastal going 1-7 in conference
mm-hmm.
with a win over Texas State.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound?
I have them going 2-6.
Beating, I assume, Georgia State?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is their only. That's their other only. I have them losing to Troy, ULL, ARC, ULM, App, and Texas State. That's who I have Coastal losing to. Cool. I have 2 1-win teams in the Sun Belt, and that is Georgia State and Texas State. Texas State goes 2-10.
I got that.
Georgia State goes 3-9. Coastal goes 4-8, and our the beloved South Alabama Jaguars go 5-7 and miss a bowl game again by one. They miss hitting that 500 mark. Going 5-7. 4-4 in conference.
Jag fans.
Yeah.
If you're listening on Anchor, go ahead and hit the button to go to the next segment.
Yeah, because you're not going to want to. It's bad.
Okay, are all the Jag fans gone?
Mm.
You good?
Mm-hmm.
Now's your last chance. Mm-hmm. I have South going 1-11.
Now, looking at South's schedule, that is entirely possible.
It's possible.
Now, the only reason why I have them going 5-7, because I talked with head coach
Steve Campbell.
I keep wanting to call him Scott for some reason. Scott Watkins, that's why. No, Steve Campbell, talked with him. Steve says, and I mean, this is obviously coach, but that ULM game is their big game. If they can beat ULM, they get bye weeks. They get a bye week before Troy. They get a bye week before, goodness, somebody else.
App State?
I think it's probably App State. They get bye weeks in between two really good teams.
It is.
And I really think South has a chance. I think Cephas Johnson takes a huge leap this year.
He has to.
We wanted him to take that big leap last year.
Yeah.
But I think he takes a big leap this year. I think their defense is a lot better this year. They're a lot deeper. That was the big thing. He said last year he said we were having to put linebackers at our D tackle position last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was that bad. And he goes, this year we got some good kids in from JC's. No injuries in the spring. We're looking good so far. We got that trench battle. And so that's where I think I'm giving South the benefit of a doubt.
And see, that's where my methodology is one of the reasons I think it fails is mm-hmm. because it doesn't account for teams that go above and beyond what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way, if we're going by just what South did last year and who they've got back,
mm-hmm.
there's no way they beat any of these other teams.
Yeah.
Texas State, I have them going 2-10. That's not how I feel about them personally.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think Jake Spavadal could get them to 4 wins this year.
They need a quarterback.
Did they have one? Or did he leave?
He's gone. Jones. Oh. Willie Jones. He's gone.
Okay.
Yeah. They had the backup kid who wasn't bad, but I saw that kid throw 5 interceptions against Troy. And
well, to be fair.
Yes, Troy was that good.
It
but
was
like,
Troy.
But I just don't. They just aren't there yet. That's a rebuilding process right there. And the thing with Jake Spavadal is you're the fourth coach that some of these players have seen. I mean, actually, third head coach, fourth offensive coach that these players have seen. Like, that's hard. That's hard to grasp the kids in the room. It's going to be a tough year in Texas State. In San Marcos. I think they have a tough year. And I think Georgia State has a tough year. And unfortunately, I think the clock is really ticking on Georgia State's head coach. I think hot seat for that man. This is year 3, and he's only pulling out 3 win seasons.
To be fair, I think that what he's had to work with, I mean, yes, it is year 3 now.
Mm-hmm.
He should be developing his own talent.
Mm-hmm.
But given what he had to begin with, wasn't a lot.
Yeah. No. No. I mean, they're practically South Alabama. They're about the same, and they're almost in the same exact position. They didn't really have football before.
Yeah.
Just jumped right into it. And so you're building a program as well. So,
well, I have them going 6-6, but missing out on a bowl. That's my seventh team.
Wow.
But for that effort, I would have to give Sean Elliott the Coach of the Year award.
Oh, okay. So and that's how we're doing Coach of the
Year. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let's go ahead and look at that. Going by my methodology alone, Georgia State's head coach would get it if he won, if he took him to 6-6.
Yeah.
I think Jake Spavital would deserve it if he got him to 4 wins.
Yeah.
And personally, just realistically, it's going to go to the coach with the best team, likely.
Yeah. And
Napier
and
won it last year.
I think he does it again.
Napier?
I think Napier does it again.
I don't think it's Napier. I think it's Drinkwitz, because even though he's literally starting at the top, he has nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tougher.
If he gets App State back to 10 wins,
yeah,
my personal belief, and this is what I would put my money on, is that he wins Coach of the Year.
I think that, but I think Billy Napier, just because he gets those, that he, for me, in my predictions, he has the most wins, and that's 9 wins. Everybody else is at 8. So that's
based on your methodology.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would
say methodology.
That too. Absolutely.
Wins, 9-3. They'll probably. Yeah, I think Napier gets it. The only other coach would be the coach at and his name's slipping my mind, but the head coach at ULM right now.
Matt Viator.
Yeah, Viator. I wanted to call him something different.
It's okay.
That would be the only other guy. A lot of Louisiana love in these predictions for me.
Yes, well, the same.
Breakout player. We'll jump right into that.
Go ahead.
And we'll just do a player of the year as well. Breakout player. I don't really necessarily think it's a breakout, but Lord, just watching him last year, and he's going to be scary to kind of defend this year, is Marcel Murray, running back out of Arkansas State. The kid was third-team All-Sun Belt by Phil Steele. He was Sun Belt Freshman of the Year last year, so it's not really a breakout player. I just think he's going to be dangerous. And he had 860 rushing yards. That's a breakout season right there in general, with 8 touchdowns, 154 attempts. He was most rushing yards by a true freshman in Arkansas State history since 1993, and he had the 12th most rushing yards in the nation by a freshman last year. So he definitely is going to be
the, whoops.
It's okay. I think he's my breakout player.
I like that pick because you've got Marcel, you've got him on this team that just lost their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They need somebody to step up as a leader. They need somebody to step up as the go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the year their quarterback is. I don't know anything about their quarterback, but I know he's not just as handsome.
He's not, but they do have a lot of faith in him.
Right.
We talked to Anderson about that exactly. And his first name is Logan. I forgot his last name. They don't foresee it being a drop-off, which still leaves me to believe that people are going to have to respect their passing game. And that's why I think Marcel Murray...
Did they return a lot of wide receivers?
They still have Kurt Merritt on their team,
That's enough. But, you're going to need somebody to balance out that offense, and that's how that offense works.
Yeah.
So, I like that pick. Mm-hmm. I like Dan Ellington just because if Georgia State goes 6-6...
You're going to need to have a breakout year.
Yeah, you're going to need to have a breakout year. Player of the year.
Okay.
Given this, it's either going to be BJ Smith or Caleb Evans.
Okay.
And I would say just because they're going to be the star player of either team.
Yeah.
No offense to Caleb Barker, but BJ Smith, if Troy's going to win 10 games this year, he's going to have 5
straight
in a row.
Yeah.
100 yard games.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
In my heart of hearts, realistically, I like Marcel Murray. I like, as a player of the year, it's probably going to be Zach Thomas. Could be Caleb Evans.
Yeah.
Could be Caleb Barker. I don't see any other names that are really standing out for me as player of the year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, breakout player of the year. We're not going to know this till November.
No, I don't think we will.
So.
Which is smart to do. I like your pick of Caleb Evans. Zach Thomas is there, but Caleb Evans just, I think this is going to be a big year for him. I really do. Like, I think we could see a couple 500-yard performances. I'm talking, 400 in the air, 100 on the ground, a couple of those this year. Like, I really think we could see that out of him. And as long as he stays healthy, I think he could be that guy, and that's why he would be my pick. B.J. Smith is right up there. I think B.J. is going to have a better year this year if Barker stays healthy. I think because that you know they could focus a lot of attention on B.J. last year when it came to running the ball.
Yeah.
But I really think with Caleb Barker in the mix, that opens up a lot of one-on-one type stuff where he can make guys miss. So B.J. Smith's a smart pick. And then, that would be my pick for player of the year. And then, but yeah, those are, I think those are our predictions for this coming year. For me, I really think we've got a nice, I think it's, you know, we had the year of the quarterback. I think this year in the Sun Belt, year of the running back. I think every team has got one solid running back. ULL's got two, maybe. Darrington Evans at App. You got Trey Regis at ULL. We haven't even talked about Georgia Southern.
No.
Haven't even talked about Georgia Southern yet.
And they're going to be just as good this year as they were last year.
Yeah.
Just because of how explosive that triple offense is.
Yeah.
But also, triple option. On the other hand, Troy figured it out last year.
They did. They
I mean, it's not going to change. It's not like they're doing anything different.
They even said they ran three plays.
Do it.
we had some jarring going on at Sunbelt Media today.
Yeah.
Where they literally players were saying, "Nah, they aren't that hard to defend. They run three different plays. They just hand it off to three different guys.
You just got to be able to defend them all.
That's all it is." We haven't even talked about Georgia Southern yet, but I really think if you go down the line and look at every team, I mean, South Alabama, Trey Minner, B.J. Smith, Trey Regis, Darrington Evans, Marcel Murray at Arc State. I mean, those are five guys right there. I mean, we had six guys make the Doak Walker Award list, preseason watch list. That's solid for a conference of our size. So, and we are definitely going to talk about that for the next coming of weeks because I believe all six of those running backs need to be talked about. There's a lot of running backs in this league that need to be talked about. So I think early on, we'll talk about this later, you're the running back in the Sun Belt. That's my other position. Prediction.
I like it. And speaking of talking about other stuff, I think it's time for us to get to this last segment. Just kind of do some housekeeping.
Final word.
Yeah, so that's the new season, new show. We hope you guys like it. It's a different style. This is something me and Thomas have been working on for the past probably month and a half.
Yeah.
Really picking out how we want. And these aren't the only segments. We're going to roll in different segments throughout the season.
We got a whole bunch of ideas. And that's the whole part of the reason we took this hiatus, this time off, is because we had these ideas. We wanted to work them out. We wanted to get them formulated. So let us know what you think.
Yep.
We're on, like we said, we're on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. We're on Facebook. Leave us a message. Leave us a comment. At us, whatever.
Yeah.
Also,
the call-in segment is something that we're really excited about.
Leave us a note in our mailbox.
Yeah.
You can reach that at 413-400-BOYS or 413-400-2697.
Got it out on first try. That was
right.
Good.
I know. I've been looking at the card all week just to make sure that I got it right.
No, we already had three or four phone calls. We kind of, you know, we've had people that have expressed their interest in it, but no, we want to hear from you guys. Put us on the spot.
Yeah.
Ask us some crazy questions. We'll answer them. I mean, we don't care. We will answer anything.
You can hear yourself on here, just like Cole was on here.
Cole's probably just going crazy right now because he just hears his voice on the radio.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. But
Have fun with it too, man. Like have fun. Like we want to hear fun phone calls. That's what we want to hear.
Make us think.
Yeah.
Make us think. Like if you want us to like, don't use this as Wikipedia, but like if you want us to compare like two teams from different points in time, we'll sit down and break it down.
So no, we've got three or four more segments that will be, we haven't even gotten into football season yet, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got a lot of ideas for football season. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a fun year. Other than that, this is going to be our final word portion of the show.
I got nothing else. I think this is, I'm excited about it. Just let us know.
Me too. Before we get going, one last thing from Sun Belt Media Day. A man that garnered my respect is Coach Blake Anderson from Arkansas State. I know I posted on social media, but made me a fan in like about 2 minutes. It was a unbelievable interaction with him. talk to the man for 15 to 20 minutes. He's obviously going through a lot. His family's going through a lot. We pray for Miss Wendy Anderson right now. But I don't know how many of you guys know, and we're kind of getting into my personal life, but my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer about 2.5 months ago. We've been battling through it. And I talked to Blake Anderson about it, just said, hey, my, and the way he approached me after, and I mean, he literally asked me about how she was doing everything, talked about how strong women are, talked about how strong moms are. And then he, you know, he pulls out a pen and a pad and he says, let me get your mom's name. And I was like, okay. And it's Donna Kent. And he goes, she's added to our prayer list. Every Sunday we're going to be praying for her. We're all part of this fight together. And like, it was hard not to like tear up at that moment, but like just, I mean, he doesn't know me. Like I've met him four times maybe at games and at media day. And for a guy to do that, like, definitely a big fan of Blake Anderson. He is now the oldest coach in the league, and I think that is the exact guy that you want to have as kind of the old ball coach of the league. Not saying that he's old or anything, but that's the guy that you want to have that's kind of at the head dinner table right now. So that's the last thing I wanted to say was just Arkansas State fans, you've got a solid coach. I think all the coaches in this conference are solid, but I think that man, Blake Anderson, just – a simple interaction is that wins over a lot of people. So that's my final word for this week. And yep.
I have nothing to add to that, but I heard nothing but the same thing about this guy.
Yeah.
So definitely know for sure that we're all thinking about praying for Miss Wendy,
mm-hmm.
and as well as your mom too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. This is season two. We're pumped. We're excited. It's going to be one hell of a year. So come on back as usual.